All right, I promise you I'm just going to go for about 15, 20 minutes. I know I look at my son and my son goes, yeah, right, I've seen your 15 to 20 minutes. Next week will be the anniversary of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Next Sunday is the day that we celebrate Pentecost. I have some homework for you, I believe, for this the entire summer. I encourage you to read over and over through the summer the book of Acts and John 14, 15, 16, and 17, where it talks about how we have in John 16 that we have one just like Jesus that was given to us. Do you know you have Jesus living in you? And I'm just not talking about a sweet little prayer that you prayed of asking him into your heart. But one just like Jesus lives in you. If you want some extra reading, read Romans 8, 1 through 15. That's where it declares that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you and I. I believe that we've been dumbed down of truth. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is truth and he's a teacher of all truth. I loved how Jimmy Evans said 15 years ago, he talked about how when he didn't know how to be a good husband, he was reading the scripture and all of a sudden he comes across 1 John 2 and it says that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of truth. And he just started asking the Lord to teach him how to be a good husband. In my opinion, Jimmy Evans is the number one or two spokesman on marriage today because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It'll take where you have maybe zero database in your life and you have abundance in that realm. So, rhetorical question. When was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit to start speaking into your weaknesses? If God would do that for Jimmy Evans and he's not a respecter of persons, if you're not a good husband or a good wife, if you're not a good co-worker, whatever your weakness may be, fear, anger. Because you see, when I read Romans 8, I don't even want that to be extra reading. Include that in your summer reading. It says that the sin can't even stay around in our life if the Spirit of God lives and dwells within us. So why do we give more credit to sin of having more strength in us than the Spirit of the living God? Because when we say that, we're not agreeing with the Word of God. Romans 8, it says this, that the Spirit of God destroys all sins, and I'm made in the image of Christ. But yet I talk to people on the streets, or talk to different ones of you, and you give more credence and power to sin than you do to the Spirit of the living God. This can't be so any longer, church. This is my Sunday to rant and set up about the Holy Spirit. Because I believe we see suffering all wrong too. And I promise you, you do not want to miss next Sunday's service. Because I'm going to talk about if we really want the power of God in our life, we've got to start seeing suffering and waiting the way that God sees it. A little over 2,000 years ago, there became a demarcation in the spirit realm and on earth to where the law of Moses and the last prophet that would represent the law of Moses, John the Baptist, would end, and grace and the supernatural and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit could be upon all mankind. We're so fascinated by Harry Potter, and I want to encourage you, if you're watching or you read Harry Potter and all that, you're reading demonic stuff. We're so fascinated by stuff like that because, let me tell you why we're fascinated by it. Because we've lost the glimpse of the beautiful one and the majesty of his power. I know I say things that doesn't help with church growth. But when God started telling me all this about in Cambodia, there are things that will come out of my life over the days and years ahead that what happened over those 14 days. And I really believe that's what's going to happen to Lori. Because when you go into a third world country that people only make 2 cents a day in Phnom Penh, yeah, they can't run to their local doctor to get healed. And that's the reason you'll meet three people that I met, three people that have been raised from the dead, because they have to depend on God. I love what we have in this nation, but I also believe some of our privileges has killed the hunger of God in our life. I watched on Facebook this past week of two pastors going back and forth of different people posting things. It wasn't the actual pastors, of pastors just saying horrible things about one another. One of the pastors is actually the largest church in America. And I'm not going to use names of all those different things because I would be joining in on what they're doing. But where does the gossip and slander stop in the church where we just hunger for God? And I would ask you, do you gossip and slander against other brothers and sisters in Christ? This shouldn't be so. Because you see, Christ died for brothers and sisters that I may have different theology with, but he paid for their life to be saved. And that doesn't give you the right to go gossip and slander unto believers either, though. The Bible says that he has given us the ability to bless those who bless us. Then God takes it up. Remember the demarcation of Abraham? And now grace of New Testament. Now you're to bless those who curse you. That's going to be part of the suffering ministry, suffering service. That was tongues. Read Acts 10 and let's get fascinated by the power of God once again. Philip, an every normal day guy like Jason or Corey or Chris or guys up on the platform today. And I'm not talking about one of the apostles, Philip. I'm talking about one of the seven who was an integritous man, ran his business with integrity, as it says in Acts 6. He was made to be a deacon. He just served faithfully around the tables. And all of a sudden, one day, the Spirit of God promotes him. Not only promotes him a little bit, but he did it in such a way that this simple man of God would be used to be bebopping out in the wilderness, and God tells him to go to this little area and that there's going to be a little chariot come by. He's hearing the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Have we forgotten the whispers of the Holy Spirit? Have we gotten so far away from our intimacy with him? We know about the Father and the Son. But I'm talking about the whispers of the Spirit of God, because it says in Acts 8 that the Holy Spirit came upon Philip. He goes to this one area. He supernaturally hears this guy in the chariot, a leader of a country, reading Isaiah 53, going, man, what does this mean? See, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we start understanding Scripture. We get eyeglasses, spiritual eyeglasses of what we couldn't see and understand, we understand. I believe Jesus Christ had to have the Holy Spirit to understand the revelation of the love of the Father like you and I have to have. When the Holy Spirit comes upon him in Luke 3, it says that the Spirit, that's when he hears the Father declare, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We need the Holy Spirit so that we quit dealing with this orphan thing. Every Sunday when we leave, every time that we gather, when we leave or even when we come in, we ought to know that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, because the Spirit of God lives and dwells within us, and he gives us communion all the time that I'm his beloved son and he's well pleased with me. He's well pleased with you. And the world out there is looking and they're dying, starving to hear a message that the Father loves them. They're the one being fascinated by Harry Potter, but if I could be so bold, the American church is so impotent in its power because we're eating so much of the culture of the earth. Paul shows up. My favorite chapter in the whole Bible, write it down, is Acts 19 for me. And here's some of the reasons that it's so my favorite. Paul shows up and he meets a group of people and he goes, man, something's not right with these guys. I can tell that they have the baptism of John, but I can tell that they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they're not moving in power or character or something. And he says, what baptism do y'all have? He said, we've had of John, but when we hear you talk about the Holy Spirit, we don't even know what you're talking about. Can I tell you, I believe that's where the American church is at in a lot of ways. Back to those two pastors lobbing things at one another. The American church has learned how to grow church in numerical numbers. But we've forgotten how to do it with the power of God. If we have 60,000 at a church in Houston, 20,000 over to the south in Oak Cliff, 20,000 over here, but yet our Metroplex still stays in darkness in a lot of ways. And it's because we've learned to build church with a seeker-friendly way and not the power of God. So back to Philip, he's bebopping down there. He hears this guy talking. I don't understand the scripture. It says that the Spirit of God comes upon him and he runs up and catches up with the chariot. Can I tell you, God might just come upon you one day where you'd run down I-35 at 60 miles an hour. I'm serious. Because if I believe it happened in this time, can it not happen in mine and your time? Can I tell you, the brother that may have $20 million in his bank and is God's waiting to move his heart to give it into the kingdom might happen when you come running up beside him on I-35 at 60 miles an hour. And many of us sit here right now, when I say that example, we don't even think it's possible. Because we've forgotten how truly the power of the Spirit of God is. When Lori comes back in Africa, they come with expectation because the doctor they go to is called a witch doctor. In a lot of places in Africa. So they come expecting to see something supernatural come out of a person that looks like you and I. In the American church, where we expect to see power when we need it physically, is at a doctor's office. That should not be so. It should be that people are coming to the church of America because they've heard that the power of God is there once again. I'm going to close in this. I'm at my 14-minute mark. My wife and I got away for our 29th wedding anniversary. Woohoo! And while we were away, we went to the water gardens in Fort Worth, and I was stunned by some of the things that the Lord just spoke to me. You see, I've been reading also the first four chapters of Revelations in some of my reading. I want to hear and see Jesus the way John did. I'm not satisfied. I want to be caught up to the third heaven like John and Paul were. Where's your prayer life? And what are you asking God to do for you? I want to be caught up in the Spirit on the Sabbath day, like it says in John, in Revelations for John's life. And he so sees this man that has eyes of fire. He sees a man that has white wool hair that represents the wisdom beyond measure. And it said, when he's got his back turned to him, he hears a sound, and this is how he describes it. It's the voice like the sound of many waters. Now think about, he's given it to the vocabulary he understands. What was John in his vocation? A fisherman. Do you think he was moved by some authority of the power of the ocean or the sea at times when he would be caught in a raging storm? I believe that's the reason he gave that language in Revelations. Scripture is Holy Spirit inspired, but it's given in the language that those people knew how to speak it forth. Just like Jesus gave it in parables to agriculture, because that's really what so many of the people did on the face of the earth. He was taking natural deals, taking Holy Spirit stuff, revelation, and putting it in a natural way, but with supernatural events. Now you think about when John probably thought about that, man, I've been in some storms before. And in those storms, the ship didn't have any control. And in that, those storms in the natural, I understood the authority of the sea. So when he hears the voice of the sound of many waters, I believe he realized he could not be held to anything, but he had to surrender to the voice. If I could be so bold, I believe every one of us in here were not totally surrendered. If we really got to hear his voice, I think we'd surrender all. We'd surrender all. And as John continued to the dialogue of with God and with Jesus in those chapters, and I encourage you, a little extra reading, to read where the state of the churches were in that day and time. Because I'm looking for a move of God to happen in the American church and in worldwide Bride of Christ. Back to the water garden. If you've never been there, there's 22 steps that take you to the very bottom. And over these little ridges runs all of this water. And when you stand up on the top, say you're on the top up here, when you're on the top up here, you can see and I can have a normal conversation. Man, you hear things that a half a mile away even. You can hear a little bit of the roar of the water, though. But you start taking these 22 steps, because I counted them. You start taking these 22 steps down into the midst of the water. And you get into the very bottom of the hole. All you can hear is the roar of the water. Celia dropped one of her bags to her photography deal. After I came up, I found that she said, "Can you go down there and get it? Are you kidding me?" So I go down there to dig this thing out of this. She was screaming at me for 5 minutes. I couldn't even hear her. Why do I say all this? We're not getting into the depths of the water that represents the Holy Spirit to the degree to stop the noise of the earth. The reason so many of us have so much strife and things going on in our life, we're satisfied of just being saved. We're satisfied that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Will you come down those 22 steps in your own life? One of those steps may represent unforgiveness towards somebody. One of those steps may represent regrets. One of those steps may be then you've been waiting for God. That next step may be that God hasn't answered your prayer for 20 years. What's your 22 steps? And what's keeping you from taking that next step down to the depth of Him? For many of us, one of those steps I really do believe represents a place of surrender we've got to get. I love what Jimmy Evans said probably 15, 20 years ago when I heard him say, "I can tell you how much you love God by looking at two things in your life. One, your day planner, and two, your checkbook. Your day planner will designate how much time you allot for God in a day. Your checkbook will represent, is your money where your mouth is? Do you give of tithes and offering?" As I sat down there for probably 20 minutes one night, because I had been captured with the voice of the sound of many waters. Literally, there were a couple of people sitting as close to me as Lori is, and I couldn't hear one thing that they were saying. If we would be willing to go down into the depths of his heart, I believe all of the things that are holding us back will melt away. When I sat there, you talk about peace, unbelievable peace. The Holy Spirit is the Prince of Peace. And the Spirit of God is looking for those that He can come and have His way with. He's a gentleman, if you will, and He will not force you to lay down your life. It's a choice that each and every one of us have to make. When I read the book of Acts again, first, second close, It was the power of the Holy Spirit that separated them from everything else. Acts 5:13 says this, that the lost wouldn't come and join them, but they highly esteemed them because of the purity, the integrity, and the power of heaven that was flowing through them. I believe if we will all read the book of Acts over and over and over and over this summer and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, to impart His life to us, and to take that next step down into the Father's glory, we're going to be amazed at what will happen. I believe that we'll start having Sundays where somebody says, man, you're not going to believe this. I went running after a car down my street, and all of a sudden, I went from 5 miles an hour to 40 miles an hour. I tell you these examples because we have to get to this level. Because if it happened with Philip, can't it happen with us? Here's a cool one. Philip baptizes the brother. Everybody know the story? Brings him up. And the Spirit of God shoots him 9 miles away where he lands in another city. Read the book of Acts, and would we all get so bold to say, God, you did it then, do it now. We're desperate for you. The dead were raised by simple men. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, and he raised a couple of people from the dead. No matter what your past was, today starts a new day. And today starts something where I truly believe we're going to start seeing the supernatural in an incredible way. Will you take time this summer to go down into the depths where the noise of the earth will no longer have an effect on you, but you'll know the noise and the language of heaven because you're spending time with Him and then you go give Him away? Let's pray. Father, we do just ask that you would come and impart a greater revelation of the Spirit of the living God. That we would move in the power that the early church did. We would move in the power that you did, King Jesus, because you said that greater works, we would move in. And Lord, as it says in Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon a people, that the Spirit of wisdom and understanding would be upon us, that the Spirit of counsel and might would flow through us, that the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord would be evident, and our delight would be in obeying the living God. Lord, take all the stripping, the stretching of where the culture of the earth has so much of the language of our minds and our hearts. And Lord, let there be miracles released this week. Grow this church on the basis of your Spirit and miracles. Come on, join me in that prayer, church. Grow this church because miracles are happening in our workplace, our neighborhood, our cities. Grow your bride once again based on the power of the supernatural. And we give you all the praise and the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.